Welcome to Session 2 in Mastering the Art of Follow-Through. As for each session, you'll need your workbook, and this session will be no exception. Remember, too, when you hear this beep, it means that we're going from the call back here to the studio. So let's listen in now to our second week.
I'm sorry that we've had a little trouble getting this call done, but you know how it is when you have people from all over the world. Again, for the past decade, Gary Cox has been recognized as one of America's leading experts on personal growth. He has been seen or featured on national TV shows and magazines like E, Inside Edition, The View, Selling Power Magazine, and has made over 11 appearances on the Marvy Povich Show alone, and is a regular on Fox and Friends, which is the nation's number one cable news network. In today's session, Gary will be discussing how to use last week's evaluation to target what hinders our progress toward our goals, and more importantly, how to change what slows us down. He will share with us ideas on how to create both a vision for yourself and others, how to keep going when we lose the vision, and more importantly, how to get the vision back. And with that, I'd like to welcome my good friend, personal growth expert, and life strategist, Gary Cox. Gary, are you there?
I am here, Clem. Thank you so very much. I appreciate the intro. And then once again, I'm looking forward to spending time with all of you this evening. I'm so excited to hear so many people calling from all over the world. And I will again do my very best to make sure it's worth your time and effort. Well, let's go ahead and take a little time and discuss some of the information that we happened to go over with last week. And by the way, if you were unable for whatever reason to be on last week's call, what you can do is go to the Business Center, and you can go ahead and download later on the evaluation that we went over. Basically, we discussed a number of things, and I had everybody evaluate themselves and take an honest look at themselves as to where they are according to this evaluation that we had everybody go over. And what we're going to do today, we're going to focus on that first thing in that evaluation, and we're going to go over it in detail and see how we can really change the way that we think, how we can continue to move forward so we can continue to see our vision. Now, the first thing that we discussed on that particular session, session one, was how much of a never give up attitude do I possess? And that's what we're going to focus on today. So hopefully by now you have downloaded or printed session two. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over session two today. And the first thing that we're going to be focusing on is that first evaluation that we discussed on last week's session. Now, I was really intrigued by all the questions I got that everybody was able who participated to send some questions to me. And what we're going to do, we're going to base a lot of the information from some of the questions that we got last week, and we're going to use that as a basis to create today's session. So I think you'll really enjoy that. So let's get to session two. And the first question is, how much of a, again, same thing as last week, how much of a blank, blank, blank attitude do I possess? And let's fill in the blanks. How much of a never give up attitude do I possess? Let's go back to your evaluation last week. If you did not get to do that, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, what did you put down or what will you put down? How much of a never give up attitude do I possess? Do you have a 10? Do you feel that you're unstoppable no matter what happens? Or do you feel that maybe it's a 2 or a 3? Whatever that answer is, make sure you go ahead and put it down so we know where we're at on this measuring rod. What's interesting is your never give up attitude has a lot with something else. Let's go to the next sentence that you have there on session two. This attitude, in other words, this never give up attitude, is also directly related to my blank. What could that be related to? It's directly related to your passion. Fill in the blank with the word passion. So this never give up attitude is really directly related to your passion. How passionate are you about specific things? Notice I didn't say how passionate are you about your business, because they don't necessarily, and I say this very loosely, don't pass judgment on me yet with what I'm about to say until I finish this session tonight. Your passion about your business did not necessarily have to relate to your success, and that's going to be quite interesting, and we'll talk about that in greater detail in a little bit. Your passion is incredibly related to that never give up attitude. We have to know, and let's go to the next sentence, what am I passionate about? What are you passionate about? I don't want you to answer that yet. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to share some things with you about what I do and what I'm passionate about. And you'll see that maybe up front they don't really relate, but you'll see how I use my passions to motivate myself, to maintain my vision, and to keep going forward. And I use this as an example so you can hopefully visualize how can you use your passions to get your business to grow and go forward. But before we can do that, we need to clearly identify our passions. And we'll do that in a little bit. I want to share with you before we go any further the importance of having that never give up attitude. And last week, I shared with a lot of you what my story was in my past and the amount of things that I had to go through and why I needed to develop that never give up attitude. And something I thought I would do, because I want you all to see that, you know, I've shared and I've walked literally in some of the shoes that you're walking now, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's incredibly challenging. For those of you who have been in the business for a while and have become quite successful at it, you know how challenging it is to get to that next level. And also, you know how challenging it is, too, to bring somebody into the business and assist them in growing their business. So I decided what I'd like to do is I want you guys to know beyond a doubt, I know some of the struggles that you have to go through to get to that next level, however you care individually to identify that next level. So what I thought I would do is I thought I would go into my journal, a journal of many years ago, and I wanted to pick out a couple excerpts from that journal. So what I actually did is I picked 4 days in my journal, and I have a journal for many, many years back. I only picked out 4 days, but I only picked out a few sentences per day. And I wanted to share this with you. So let's get started. I have September the 19th. 1993. Let me read some of this to you. I feel sick to the stomach. What a success story if I can only hang in there. I'm going to have to borrow money again. I'll have to swallow my pride and ask again. I haven't had such emotional pain in months. Let me go to September the 20th, 1993. Monday after a terrible weekend. Financially, we are in the worst position that I can remember in some time. We owe $5,000 at this point on one particular bill. I have $20 in my personal account to my name. I'm borrowing more money, and I'm thousands more in the hole, and I'm behind 3 to 5 months on many of our bills. Let me go to the next date, September 23rd, 1993. I thought the 20th was a bad day. I broke down and cried today. I didn't want to, but I did. It's amazing how things are so bad and I'm actually seem to get used to it. Things are so bad that this is the first time that we have never literally had money for food. Imagine that, I write. Things are so bad that I don't even have the money for postage to mail one of our promotional kits. October 13th, finally got 8 hours of sleep. I wanted to quit again, but I didn't. Now, this is me speaking. Notice my next sentence or two. We hit the phones hard. Boy, the bills are high. The key is to stay on these phones all day. Friends, that's only 4 days and a part of my journal of each one of those days. Now, if you could read my journal today, I can promise you it's a lot different. Why did I share this with you? I wanted to share with you how challenging it can be. I'm not the type that's going to say, oh, it's going to be easy. I will tell you it's going to be a heck of a ride. And you know, more than anything, I think what this industry and this business will do for you, it will help you build a tremendous amount of character. Because here's something interesting to think about. You know, if we quit, and if we don't have that never give up attitude, stop and think about it. Let's say you do give up. Now that you've given up, what do you think you're going to do? Go find something else? if you haven't worked on the inside, you can't jump from one thing to another because it's going to be the same story. Whatever reason you give up for this particular business, you're going to have the exact same reason for another business until we develop what's inside. And that's what we have to do. Now, how do we develop what's inside? Is mentally dependent also on our passion. And notice as we go through these entire 12 sessions that you'll see that there is not one answer. You have to have all the things that we're talking about. That's why that evaluation that we went over last week was so important. It's so important because what we have to do is we have to learn from the inside. It was interesting. I spent some time with Clem's son, Trey, and he said something interesting. He said, "For my business to grow, I have to grow." And that's so true. If you're wanting to quit and you think about going somewhere else and you haven't grown the inside, when you go somewhere else, you're going to have the exact same challenges. So why not stay here? It only makes sense. So let's talk then about how passion is so important and how we can determine what our passions are. Let's go back to session 2 on the information that you've printed out. The next sentence is, the goal, whatever your goal is, or my goal, is related to my passion, which is also related to my income, business, and personal life. So the goal is to relate my passion to my income, business, and personal life. Very interesting. So let's talk about how we do that. Now, before we can get to that, we need to identify what our passion is. So I'm going to share with you some of my passions, and I'm going to share with you how I put my passions together. Why do we want to discuss this? Because remember, if you're at the point like I was years ago, where I had literally no money for food, and I had to get to the point where I had to push myself and go so I could be here with you today, how did I get that tenacity, that internal fortitude, if you will, to keep going forward? I had to rely on my passion. Now, keep in mind that passion can be diminished quite easily. But if that passion is still there, it may never go out. It may be really low, but you have to use what's left to fuel you to keep going. And if you don't have a passion, no wonder people give up because there's nothing left to fuel them to get them to bounce back up. So let's discuss some of this. I don't want you right now to write down your passions yet. Listen to my little story here about my passions, and then I want to see how we can relate that in business, explain that to you. Then I want you to go ahead and fill in that information and see how you can design this and put this together. So I'm going to share you some of my passions and how I work this together. The first or second thing I would put in as my passions, my number one or number two passions. Number one, I'd have to say my first passion is probably my passion for teaching and teaching others. My second passion is being an entrepreneur. Now, my first and second passion, sometimes my second passion being an entrepreneur gets to be first and my first gets to be second. They're really neck and neck. Interesting thing. I had a mentor and his name was Bernie Little. Bernie Little used to be the winningest speedboat, hydroplane speedboat racer in the world. He owned a speedboat that just broke incredible records. And more than anything, Bernie's passion was being an entrepreneur and making a deal. It didn't matter to him what the deal was. If he could buy tomatoes for 5 cents and sell them for $500 or for 10 cents, he would buy and sell tomatoes. So he would buy and sell anything. He bought and sold Learjets and yachts and helicopters. He just loved the art of the deal, if you will. That was his passion. And because he took that passion of making the deal, he could apply that to anything. So he became passionate about anything that he could create a deal on. Very interesting. My next passion I have for number three would be watching people grow and making positive changes. I would also add on my next one, I'm very passionate about flying. And I'll explain that in a little bit. And then my next one was sharing new experiences with others. I love to share new experiences with others. I like to take people places that they've never been to in their life and watch them at all, looking at scenery or different things. Another thing I like sharing with people what it means to understand the customer. Me personally, I am passionate, if not obsessive, about making a customer happy. I've shared with you five or six passions that I have. Notice I haven't said anything about I love selling my product. Because what I've done here is I've taken these passions and created a business out of it. So let's put the passions together with the business. Because I'm passionate about teaching, that pushes me to make more phone calls so I can get more business, so I can be in front of a group. It's not being in front of a group. I will get necessarily, it can be a small group or a big group or something like I'm doing today where I'm in my office by myself talking to 1,000 people. I can get just as excited about talking in an office over a telephone line in front of 1,000 people, sometimes more excited than literally being in front of an audience with 1 or 5,000 people. I enjoy teaching. That fuels me. I enjoy being an entrepreneur. So when I feel like I want to quit and things aren't going right, I want to be an entrepreneur. So I've got to get back up so I can keep going forward. My next thing is I love to see people make positive changes. So one of the things that fuels me, in fact, there were times that I wanted to quit this business, but I would get emails and letters from people thanking me. I get tears from my eyes, and that would say, wow, I got to keep going. I can't give up. So I use my passion for helping people to go forward. My next thing is I'm passionate about flying. So I get excited about getting a phone call or making a phone call or 10 phone calls or 100 phone calls so I can book a speaking engagement because I know I'm going to be passionate about speaking in front of the people that I'm chosen to speak in front of, not to mention I'm going to be passionate about flying there, and when I leave, I get to fly back. And because I'm passionate about sharing experiences with others, I get to bring staff, family members, my staff's family, and let them come along so they're excited too. So I'm putting all my passions together to put together with my business. Does that make sense? This is what you have to do. You need to really spend some time and find out what you're passionate about. Notice your passion does not have to be tangible things. It doesn't have to be making money, which could be a passion. Notice that's not one of my passions. Do I enjoy it? Absolutely I do. But all these passions, if I put them into practice, it's going to help grow my business. Try to relate that to yourself. Take the time. If we don't have a lot of time on this particular call, I want you to take the time definitely later on when we finish this call. But stop for a moment and think about what your passions are. Let's say, for example, you have a passion about health. Well, that might be a great reason why you're attracted to this business. If you enjoy seeing people change and improve in their health, if you're passionate about that, well, that would be one of the reasons, hopefully, that you can use to fuel yourself to keep going forward. Now, when we're talking about fueling yourself to keep going forward, what are we referring to? There's obviously going to be times, either it be now or in the past, maybe even in the future, that you're going to want to quit. Are you going to have those feelings of quitting? The key is, if you don't know what your passion is, if you don't know what really excites you, what reason are you going to have to keep going forward? A question that I often get from people is, Gary, what if I don't know what I'm passionate about? Well, if you don't know what you're passionate about, you're going to have a challenge here. Why? Because you're going to be wishy-washy. And because you're wishy-washy, not knowing what you're really passionate about, what's going to happen is when you get to the point of wanting to quit or feel like quitting, it's going to be really difficult for you to get back up. And that's why it's so important to identify specifically what you're passionate about. Hopefully you're passionate more than one thing. Hopefully you've got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, keep going. If you've got 10 different things that you're passionate about, put them all down. And it would include family and friends and your business. It could be a lot of different things. So take your passions and work them within your business. Let's say you are passionate about being an entrepreneur. Well, here's a great opportunity for you. That's why you're here. You're wanting to be an entrepreneur. Are you passionate about that? It's important. What about being passionate about making customers happy? You should be passionate about that, because if you want to make customers happy and you're passionate about it, and for whatever reason they may not be happy, you're going to do what it takes to keep them happy. Are you passionate about seeing people dramatically improve their health and their lifestyle? Well, if you're passionate about that, you're in a great business, because not only are you improving their health, because of all the personal growth that you guys are exposed to, you're also going to help them improve their personal lifestyle, their thinking, their financial lifestyle. It goes on and on and on. Again, my reason for sharing this with you is you need to figure out what your passions are, and you need to put those passions together with your business. that's going to enable you to possess that never give up attitude. I'll give you an example again with my wife. She's passionate about traveling and taking pictures. She loves to travel to exotic and new places, and she loves to take pictures. So it works out perfectly. I can fly her to the new exotic place. I don't care about taking pictures. I'll stay in the room while she goes out and gallivants. She loves to host people. So when we go to an island or somewhere new and unique, and we've been there several times before, we like to bring our friends. And what do you think she does? She has their whole itinerary planned because she's passionate about that. And these are the passions that you use to make your life exciting. You cannot make your life exciting if you don't know what they are. And the reason I'm encouraging you to take time to write this information down, a lot of times people think that they're passionate about certain things, and they're passionate about other things that they don't even realize. That's why you want to take some quality time and really figure out what excites you, what gets you passionate, and look for that passion, because if you lack that passion, you're going to have a hard time when you get knocked down to get back up and go forward. So how do we show that we want to, or that we are possessing that never give up attitude? Well, there's several things that you have to do or need to do. Before I answer that question, let me ask another one. How do you show that you're rewarding the opposite? So you have a never give up attitude. There's certain ways that you reward that. But let's say you don't have a never give up attitude. How do you reward that? Well, you reward that several ways. It's pretty easy, isn't it? We reward that by stopping. We reward that by not getting on calls like this anymore. We reward that by not advertising our business. We reward that by not buying any more product. And so on and so on. So if we can tap into that passion, how are we going to show that we do have a never give up attitude? We're going to show it by doing the opposite of what we just talked about. So if you feel like falling flat on your face, or that you felt flat on your face, you show that you have a never give up attitude by being on calls like this, by doing more advertising, working those leads, making the phone call. You do it by proving to yourself you're not going to give up, and you buy more product. You do whatever it is. Notice what I said in a lot of my diaries. I said that I have to borrow money again. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go in debt and borrow money, but the key is sometimes you have to do that. And here's what I did. I went ahead, when I first got started in this business, because I knew it would take a lot of money, and you have a great advantage because you don't have to spend the tens of thousands of dollars that I had to spend to get into my business. I made sure my credit was straight, and I had lots of it. So it took me 6 months to a year to straighten up my credit. And it only took me less than a year to mash it up, because what I did, I cash advanced a whole bunch of money. I borrowed money and I borrowed money. I couldn't pay it all back, and I knew that time would happen. Then I went ahead and got personal friends and family members that trusted me. And then what I would do is I would actually sell my receivables. For example, if a company hired me back then, some people would hire me for maybe $200 or $500. Let's say somebody hired me for $500. I'd go to a buddy of mine or a family member. I'd say, here's what I'd like to do. I've got this contract, and it shows that this company is going to pay me $500 in a month from now. I'd like to know if you could possibly give me $400, and when I get that check a month from now, I'll give you the $500. You'll make $100 off of me in a month. And I had like three or four people that would do that for me. And you have to do these type of things, because if you have that passion, and that passion is real, and you get to the point like, you know, hey, I want to throw in the towel, you've got to keep going. And I'm not encouraging you to get in debt, okay? That's not the point. What I'm encouraging you to do, you've got to do things that prove to you that you're not giving up. And you can't be irrationally optimistic about this. Let me touch on those two words, irrational optimism. What are we talking about that? See, when we refer to irrational optimism, we are referring to how some people believe they can succeed, and they'll borrow a lot of money, but they're not applying themselves. So if you don't apply yourself, and you go borrowing a lot of money, you're going to stop. You're going to give up, and you're going to have a ton of debt. So the key is, if you've created debt to borrow money to get into your business, well, that's what business is about. You're not usually born with a ton of money where you can do whatever you want, so you have to borrow it. And I had to do the same thing. And then what you do now is you apply yourself. you don't become irrationally optimistic. You can't afford to do that. Irrational optimism is the person who sees your opportunity, they look at it, they're all excited, they buy into it, but they're not willing to study on themselves or learn to grow. They're not willing to study about the product and learn the product. They don't have the passion about the product. They don't have the passion maybe about helping other people. You can have passion about helping other people and use your product to fulfill that passion. But if that passion is not there and you borrow a lot of money, what's going to happen is you're just going to slow down, throw in the towel, and give up. Because at first you said, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but you were irrationally optimistic because you don't work on skills. You don't work on improving your skills. You don't work on improving yourself. You don't work on, instead of talking to one person a week, you need to be working on talking to 10 people a day or 20 people a day. So these are the things that you have to do. Don't become irrationally optimistic. And the key is, if you become irrationally optimistic, one way to identify that is that you'll say that you're going to do this and that and this and that. You have all these goals and dreams, but you're not taking the time to apply yourself. We have got to apply ourselves. If we don't apply ourselves, we're going to become irrationally optimistic. Another thing that we have to do, too, to not only maintain our passion, but to never give up, is, as my friend Les Brown refers it, you have to be hungry. You've got to really be hungry. What does that really mean? See, it's easy to be hungry when you're what? When you're hungry. If you haven't eaten in 8 or 10 hours, it's easy to be hungry. The challenge is learn to be hungry even when you're full. So learning to be hungry is an attitude. When a person is hungry, you ever seen a person, and you've done it too, right, when you're hungry, I mean, do you just get that fork and you dip it into that nice big fat steak or whatever it is that you eat, and you slowly put it in your mouth? No, man. When you're hungry, you cut that thing up, and you chew, and you chew, and you swallow, and you chew again, and you cut some more up, and you keep going. That's a person who's hungry. When you're hungry in business, how do you show that you're hungry? Because if you're hungry, that's also going to help you get back up. It's also going to help develop that never give up attitude. You show you're hungry by your actions. For example, if somebody gives you a lead, or you buy leads, or you get a lead, a referral from somebody else, if you're hungry, you're not going to sit those leads in your computer or wherever you keep them at for a week or a month. You're going to get to it when? Now. Now means N-O-W, now means no waiting. That's how you show you're hungry. Let's say that you had a great week, business was phenomenal, and you got some more leads, some more referrals. When do you handle those? You got to be hungry, even if you're fat. So when do you handle them? You do it now. You keep following up on those. You get to it now. That's the hungry type of attitude. So one of the things that you could do, you might want to analyze that yourself. How hungry am I? How much of a hungry attitude do I have? I have learned, no matter what level my bank account is at, I always remain hungry. I pretend that it's not there. I run the business at times day to day mentally. Because if I do that, it keeps me hungry. I prove that I'm hungry by making sure that we're on the phones, that we're you know, putting marketing ideas out, we're sending postcards, whatever it is that we do, and you have to do it consistently. So analyze yourself. Ask yourself this question. Am I hungry? If I think I am, how do I prove that? If you're honest with yourself and you happen to be one of those people that say, you know what, I'm not hungry enough. If you're not hungry enough and you've admitted that, okay, what do we go and where do we go and what do we do from here? You need to write down specifically for your particular situation, your lifestyle, your business, your goals. You need to write on paper what specifically would you do to prove to somebody that you were hungry. How persistent are you? People who are hungry are persistent. You ever seen somebody who was truly hungry living on the streets? They will beg and they will beg and they will beg and they will beg, because if they're truly hungry, they need to fill their tummies. And to fill their tummies, the only way a person's going to fill their tummies, they're going to have to ask. Or they're going to go into the garbage, whatever. They show that they're hungry. It's an attitude. So that attitude also goes with your passion. Keep in mind, if you don't have a passion, you're not going to be very hungry, and you can be easily complacent. In other words, when I say complacent, I mean, you know, you just get used to living from paycheck to paycheck. You just get used to the mundane lifestyle. You know how sometimes if you get wrapped up into it too much, it just becomes making a living. You're not making a life. And when you're hungry, you demand more from yourself, and you force yourself to keep going forward. You force yourself to push. And when you force yourself to push, what that does, it helps continue to fuel that passion, and it helps you to maintain that possession of a never-give-up attitude. A couple things that we want to talk about, too, is with regards to our never-give-up attitude, is we want to make sure that we know what our goals are. Now, starting next week, we're going to focus heavily on starting the goal-setting process. We're going to go to specifics. Notice we haven't even started the specifics yet on setting the goals. And the reason that we haven't is because what I mentioned to you earlier, what Trey said, for you to grow your business, you have to grow. So all the information that we've talked about in this session and the previous session is information that we focus on in helping our business grow. To do that first, though, we have to grow. We have to master what's inside. And to create a business, the key is just to figure out what your passion is and create this business around your passion. You know, if you love to travel, let's say that's one of your passions. There's a lot of you out there that love to travel. Many of you, I know for sure, that have had the opportunity to travel literally all over the world many times over, Clem being one of them. But there's a lot of you that are passionate about wanting to do the same thing but haven't had the opportunity. You are in an industry, you are in a business right now that gives you the opportunity to travel like you would not believe. So what you can do is you can use your passion for travel and incorporate that in your business. So what that means is whatever level you're at now, you want to get to the next level. And you're using your passion for travel to get to the next level, because getting to the next level is going to help you get to that next exotic location. You can use your passion of helping people improve their health and your passion of wanting to travel to push your business. This is how it all works together, friends. You've got to have all these nuts and bolts, if you will. It's like the domino effect. You know, if you have all your dominoes in line and they're all just right, how many do you have to touch to make it all happen? You only have to touch one. But if you have 1,000 dominoes in line and you have just one domino out of place, where that domino is out of place, you know what's going to happen. That's where the line is going to what? That's where the line is going to stop. So that's why we're focusing on, throughout this 12-week session, we're going to focus on these evaluation processes, because it's this evaluation that we discussed in Lesson 1. That evaluation is going to help us put all those dominoes in line. Once this evaluation is right and the dominoes are in line, the key for us then is to make sure now that they're in line, and then all we have to do is we're at the point now we are ready to set our goals. To set our goals, all we have to do is touch one domino, and they all continue to go forward. That's why we're focusing so much on developing the inside before we master the outside. So remember, put this all together, and that's what the 12 weeks is going to be about. We're working on putting all this information together, so when we're ready to touch that one domino, they're all going to keep going forward. So let's do a quick review. Last week, we discussed the importance of making an honest analysis of ourselves. So make sure that you've done that and go through that evaluation. Then tonight's session, session two, we want to make sure that we identify all of our passions. Friends, I cannot emphasize enough the time that you really need to take to do this. Take some quality time by yourself and figure out what you're really passionate about. And I think you might be intrigued by the answers that you come up with. And then you'll also see how you'll be able to use all these passions and mix them and fuel them in your business so you can continue to maintain that never give up attitude. Again, what this is going to do is help us get our vision back. Before we can get our vision back, make sure we have a vision. Vision, and passion and a never give up attitude also are part of that domino chain. So what is your vision? I find in a lot of people that the more passionate they are about things, a lot of times the bigger and greater and the more excited they are about their vision. Passionate people excite other people. And you'll find that if you find somebody who's passionate about something and you spend some time with them, it's infectious, isn't it? Now, I will tell you something. Some of you are thinking, well, Gary, I don't know if I have some of that passion. Well, I believe the passion is there, but it just may be smothered right now. How does your passion get smothered? Unfortunately, our passion gets smothered when things don't go our way. That's why it's so challenging. See, we can be passionate about things, but things not go our way, and we lose some of that never give up attitude. And as we lose some of that never give up attitude, we also, if we're not careful, can lose some of that passion. That's why we need to identify what the passion is, so when we do start maybe taking the course that's not working for us, or we will get that, you know, never give up attitude, we're losing some of that attitude, things aren't really going our way, because it happens to all of us. We have to know what our passion is so we can keep trying to fuel it. That's the excitement. One of the things that I would do when I didn't have the money to fuel my excitement and my passion for airplanes, in fact, is I would go to the airport, and I remember at this particular time had no money to do flying lessons or helicopter lessons, but I would just smell the jet fuel, and that would, as silly as it sounds, that would excite me. And I would listen to the helicopters, and I would spend hours upon hours listening and watching airplanes. I remember being a 16-year-old kid driving to the airport, and in the late evenings, sneaking into people's airplanes just to sit in the pilot seat and touch things. I remember one day a guy caught me and he just cursed me out like you would not believe. But I wanted to fuel my passion. Even though I didn't have the money, that made me get excited. So how do you fuel your passion? You fuel your passion, for example, if you're the person who's passionate about traveling, you fuel your passion by going to the travel agency. And picking out brochures about places that you want to go. You keep yourself excited. When you get excited, what do? You need to do something with that excitement. You need to channel that excitement. You channel that excitement by making phone calls. You don't just get excited about looking at that brochure and do nothing. You need to take advantage of that excitement. So what I did, I programmed myself in such a way that when I would go to the airport, even though I didn't have the money at the time, I would get excited about listening to the sounds of those airplanes. I would literally drive right to my office and I'd get on the phone and I would dial and I would dial and I would dial. Here's something that I did to test my mind. There were times that I would obviously want to throw in the towel. I shared a lot of that with you earlier in the call. There were times I wanted to throw in the towel. Now, when I felt like throwing in the towel, I would force myself to go to that airport and smell some of that jet fuel, and listen to the helicopters, and listen to the airplanes. I'll be very honest with you, there were times that it didn't work. That did not work. Why? Because I was so down that I could not get my passion fueled because I lost my vision. What did I do when that happened? Number one, I would make a conscious acknowledgement to myself that this is a measuring rod only, that I have allowed the bad day today, the external stimuli, to really smother my vision. So what I would have to do is I would have to get to the point that I would get my vision back again, and I would do that by refocusing, looking again at my goals, understanding that if other people can do it, I can do it too. I'd have to get back to the office, and I'd have to keep going forward. I want to share with you one final statement about going forward and never giving up. A lot of you may have heard me share this before, but it's so powerful. If you're taking notes, I strongly suggest you write this one down. If you're not taking notes, I strongly suggest you write this one down. And if you don't want to take notes, you definitely want to remember it. It's called the law of inertia. The law of inertia. It's a law that's taught to helicopter pilots, and it was taught to me when I first started flying helicopters, and it's spelled I-N-E-R-T-I-A. I-N-E-R-T-I-A. The law of inertia states the following. It states that things that move want to keep moving. Let me repeat that. Things that move want to keep moving. Does that law say that we have to move fast?
No.
All it says is that we have to what? We have to move. So when you feel like giving up, and all of us do from time to time, it's just part, unfortunately, for many of us, for just being human. But when we feel like giving up, apply the law of inertia. Change gear psychologically. Say it out loud. What does it say? Things that move want to keep moving. It doesn't say it has to move fast. We just have to move, so make sure you do that. If you have to get on the phone at 0.0001 miles an hour, you're still moving. That's the key. What we have to do is find ways to fight that attitude of wanting to throw in the towel. The law of inertia is a great way to do that. So don't forget the law of inertia. Now, if you're the type of person that you don't need that law of inertia, you still want to remember it because you're going to want to share it with people that you bring into the business, because it's so easy to want to quit, especially if you're new to this, if you've never been in sales before, if you've never started your own business before. It's a whole new world, a whole new opportunity. So remember, if things don't always go your way, and that's just the Murphy's Law, remember the law of inertia. Things that move want to keep moving. So I encourage you, when you just feel like throwing in the towel, keep moving. Better days are yet to come. And as you keep moving, what's going to happen is, I guarantee you something good is going to happen without a shadow of a doubt. It's going to continue to refuel your passion, and that passion is going to refuel that never give up attitude. Clem, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Gary, I am just spellbound. I tell you, that was absolutely fabulous. I don't know if they took any notes or not, but I sure took some. Everything you said applied to me.
I hope you've enjoyed this session so far. Let's chat a little bit about it. We'll start by getting back to our workbook on Session 2, Page 1. One thing I wanted to interject here was something about the statement, "The goal is to relate my passion to my income, business, and personal life." It's about the fourth sentence down from the top of the page. Now, if you don't have a business, replace it with something else. It doesn't matter. Your personal life would also include things such as your faith, family, friends, and things like that. Now, if you haven't taken the time to write down your passions, please don't go any further until you get that done. So what excites you? What gets you to take action? We'll see later how to really take advantage of all this information. Now, let's move over to page 2 on lesson 2. We'll start by filling in the blanks. You've got to be hungry. Put the word hungry in there. You've got to be hungry. Being hungry is simply an attitude. Being hungry is simply an attitude. So fill the blanks in with the word hungry. Next is an exercise that I'd like you to participate in. Meet me where it reads, write down specific things that you would do which would show to others that you are hungry. Let's go over the importance of this exercise before we begin. As I previously mentioned, being hungry is an attitude. Having a hungry attitude means like you're a bottomless pit. You can't get enough. And if you're hungry about your goals, it shows. How? Well, for me, one way I manifest being hungry is that I get up early in the morning. It's not uncommon for me to be in my office when I'm not traveling at maybe 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, sometimes when we get older, kind of worn out, burned out, so to speak, we lose some of that hunger to enjoy life. By writing down how we individually show, or here's a key point here, or should show how we prove we are hungry, it helps us to have something to shoot for. So let's say you included waking up early. You might feel that when you are hungry to work toward your goals, you show it by getting up early in the mornings. No, not because the dog or the kids woke you up, but because you couldn't wait to work on your goals. The next week, you have a blah week. So you review this list, and now you see because you are not getting up early as you used to, maybe you're losing some of that hunger. So you can use this list as a measuring rod. How do you get the hunger back? Pretend you are hungry and do the things on your list even when you don't feel like it. A lot easier said than done, but it definitely works if you can force yourself to do it. Let's take some time now to identify specific things that you would do which would show others, and of course yourself, that you are hungry. Stop and do this exercise now. Well, how did you do? Did you come up with some good ways to show that you're hungry? Well, I hope you did. You know, some people don't create much of a life for themselves. They just get caught in the daily blah routine. and they really have a hard time with this exercise. Well, I hope that wasn't you. Make it a point to review this page once in a while. It's a great way to force yourself to act as if you're hungry when you're not. Just do it. I think a good point to review here is the illustration that was made about the dominoes. Remember that dominoes don't flow smoothly if one is out of place. By consistently working on getting your sixes to tens and doing these exercises, such as the one that we just did, we are really placing those dominoes in perfect order. This way, by the end of our program, we'll be able to touch that first domino and make things happen as we continue to follow through on our goals. Earlier, we started to discuss the importance of having passion. I shared with you that often the greater the passion, the greater our vision is about what we're able to accomplish. Why don't you go ahead and fill in the blank on this statement in your workbook? Bottom of session 2, page 2. The greater the passion, put the word passion in there, the greater the passion, the greater our vision is about what we are able to accomplish. Put the word passion and vision in there. The greater the passion, the greater our vision is about what we're able to accomplish. Now, of course, there are some exceptions to this rule, but they really do fuel off of each other. In our next session, session 3, we're going to discuss ways to fuel our passions. I had a one-on-one call with a lady by the name of Jane. I've included this interview on this session, so you'll have more insight and understanding when we get to session 3. Let's listen in. And it reads the following. It says, first of all, I have no clue how to determine what my passions are. I can promise you, you're not the only one in that boat. I really don't know where to begin. I know I'm passionate about my family. Other than that, I enjoy things like shopping, like most women do. And actually, just looking through catalogs can really motivate me. Since the only passion I can identify is family, how do you fuel something like that? Maybe I need to be more specific about family, break it down more. Thank you for your time. I finally can see the tremendous value in personal development. Talk to me a little bit about this, Jane.
Well, I'm finding that every day, every week, every month, I go through these hills and these valleys where I'm up one minute and I'm down the next. And I think that a lot of it, if I could identify some of my passions, it would help level some of that out. But one of my big passions is my family, but they're around all the time.
Right.
It's really hard to nail that down. And the other thing that I work really hard to is to get some of my bills paid off. And it's really hard for me to get up in the morning and say, hey, let's go pay some bills.
Pay some bills.
Yeah, and
okay.
So that's what I'm needing some assistance with.
Let's talk a little bit about the hills and the valleys. And I think all of us have had that at one point or another if we're not having it on a regular basis, because it is a challenge. One of the things that I'd like you to do is start graphing the highs and the lows. Figure out in a day, do you have, you know, one or two major lows or three major lows? If you have several in a day, your goal is to see if you can just go to one a day. And then after that, can you just have one maybe low or one valley once every 3 days, and then once a week, and then so on and so forth? I think after you do these graphs, Jane, what it's going to do is help you consciously be aware of what's causing these emotional roller coasters, this up and down. Again, the ultimate goal is see if you can spread them out as opposed to once a day, maybe once a week. Of course, once a month would be better. Once a year would even be better. So focus on that. Now, with regards to the passion about paying bills, most people would not say they're passionate or can't get excited about paying bills, and that's more than understandable. But one of the things that I think that I would encourage you to digest or think about, Jane, is keep in mind the advantage of paying off your bills. Also, when people think about paying off their bills, sometimes they get this notion that I can't do anything in my life until these bills are paid off. That is not the way to look at it. And by the way, and of course we're not going to get into that in this program, there is good debt and bad debt. The bad debt, things that you've put on credit cards, like, you know, going out to dinner or whatever, that don't give you any type of return, that's a type of debt you want to get rid of. Other debt that you can get a return on, that may be debt that you want to keep. I have what I call operational debt, specific debt that I need, that I want, and I don't want to pay off even though I can. So one of the things you can do is some of this debt that you have that is not giving you any type of return, stop and think about the interest
and the emotional strain it pulls on you and the interest that you're paying, if you can work toward getting rid of all that debt in time, and a lot of times we have so much debt we get overwhelmed when we look at it and think, boy, we'll never get out of this. But if we can just pay a dollar more than the minimum, it at least is a pattern that says we're going beyond paying the minimum. Try to get rid of that debt and look at the interest that we would save and what we could do with that. Some people, the amount of interest they spend in a year or in 3 months on their debt, they literally could have a very decent vacation every quarter or every 6 months or once a year. So look at your debt like that. It's something that you're going to use to eat away at and eliminate, so you can take your business, if you have a business, or just take your finances to a whole nother level. Now, with regards to your passion on your family, let me ask you a question. What about your family makes you passionate? What are you passionate about when it comes to your family?
Just spending time with them.
What kind of time? Other than quality time, of course. define for me, you know, something you'd love to do with your family that is out of your reach, that you think maybe right now or out of your reach over the next couple years.
Well, I'd really love to take my daughter to Disneyland. That's something I really would like to do.
So what you could do on that is, have you stopped to figure out what the cost might be for that?
No.
Okay, so that's where you need to begin. A lot of times we just think about having goals and things that we want to do for our family, but we haven't figured out, you know, is it going to cost me much or how much? And when the cost isn't there and you haven't honed in on it, then it's just like floating in your head somewhere and you can't grab onto it to know how to target yourself to get there. Figure out what the cost is for that. The next step that you would want to do is, with the cost, how long would it take you to save for that? Or maybe make it a goal, if you get to a certain area in your finances, you're going to reward yourself by putting half of it away or quarter of that money away, or just going to Disneyland, something along that line. Have you thought about it that way?
No, I haven't.
Okay. And
that kind of takes into account both of them, getting the bills paid off.
Absolutely. And remember, you don't necessarily have to pay the bills off to go there. Now, what I would recommend is that you go there without credit.
Okay.
So your goal, though, would be to make sure you go and you're going to pay it off without credit. Let's say it's going to take you a long time. I have no idea. What do you do between now and then? Do little things that are more affordable that you could do with your family, so you don't have to wait so long, because when you get down into that valley, that vacation that you had planned that you thought was getting really close, now that you're in your valley, it seems like 50 years further, doesn't it?
Really far away.
So if you have little things along that line, hey, for that matter, buy the little mouse ears, you know, and make it a goal to buy it in a month from now. I'm sure you can afford that. And just put it on your daughter's bed, just somewhere visible. Put it somewhere where she can look at it and maybe put a label on it and say, our goal is to go here at such and such a time. You've got to make it fun. And because family is your passion, both of you might get excited seeing these little ear hats in both your bedrooms, you know, sitting in the bedroom there with a little goal on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's how you fuel it. That's how you keep it exciting. And just saying, this is what I want to do for my family is nice, but let's get specific about it so we can follow through. And now you have a reason to do that next step, whatever that next step is for you. Now you've got a reason for doing it. And at the same time here, if you don't follow through and take action, you're not going to be able to help your daughter fulfill that dream as a family with her. Mm-hmm. So you see how they both work together.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Let's go over your debt again a little bit. Jane, let's just assume, just, you know, for the heck of it, that you owe over $100,000 in debt.
Okay.
Here's what a lot of people will do. They will feel that for me to take this dream trip with my family, that I feel guilty if I don't pay this debt off, or I may get other people that know my financial situation. Some of those other people may be the people that you owe money to. And all of a sudden, they hear or they heard that you went on this vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, long term, that it would take you 10 years to eliminate this debt. Now, it's going to take you quicker than that if you stay focused. You know that. But let's just say it took you 10 years. And you said to your daughter, after 10 years, when I get this debt done, I'm going to take you on this fabulous dream vacation that we've had together, that we've been thinking about.
Yeah.
And right after you cut the last check for your debt, you have a heart attack and you die. What good was it?
Yeah.
So my point in telling you this, you've got to enjoy it along the way. Do not let the debt weigh you down so much that you feel that, you know, maybe it's the IRS or maybe it's, you know, the bill collector that they're going to threaten to take your house away. Of course, you have to be balanced with all that. But at the same point, you have to enjoy what you're doing. If you think that you have to sit there for 10 years or 5 years and just nose to the grindstone and you can't enjoy your life until you have this debt, well, you're going to be so burned out. And boy, your valleys, talk about peaks and valleys. Not only are you going to have lots of them, they're going to be very, very low and very, very deep.
Yeah.
So that's the key. And when you get that mastered, you understand that, okay, I'm still going to focus on my debt. Now, that doesn't mean that you go into debt for this vacation that you want. But the point here is make sure you enjoy the process. Because if you don't enjoy what you're doing and you focus just on that debt over and over and over, you're not going to focus on what can I do to enjoy myself along the way. Your family, they're not going to enjoy it either. They're going to be deprived. So that's where you have to master the balance between the two.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
In fact, what I'd like you to do, I know you have access to my email.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like you to do is email myself or my assistant, and I want you to email her and let me know when you get those ears.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm going to give you a goal.
Okay.
I want you to have those ears in less than 2 weeks.
Okay.
Deal?
Deal.
So in less than 2 weeks, I'm going to find out from you through an email if you got those ears.
Okay.
All right?
I can do it.
Sounds good, Jane. Hey, thanks so much for participating.
No problem.
We'll see you.
Okay, bye-bye.